You're listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 442. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. Hey there, you amazing human. Welcome back to another podcast episode with me, your host, Ange from Angela Henderson Consulting. Today's episode is one I know so many of you have been waiting for because we're diving into the perimenopause conversation that we all need to have. And to guide us through it, I'm joined by none other than the amazing Shelley Horton. You might know Shelley from her incredible 30-year career as a journalist with stints at ABC, Channel 7, Fairfax, ET America, for the last decade as a weekly feature on Channel 9's Today and Today Extra. And what you might not know is that Shelley's personal experience with perimenopause was a shakeup for her, one that was debilitating and blindsiding. And because of this, this has become the spark for a much bigger mission. She's now an author with her brand new book, I'm Your Peri Godmother, and the co-creator of Don't Sweat It, a company advocating for menopause-friendly workplaces across Australia. Shelley brings this powerful blend of lived experience, advocacy, and science-based education to the conversation today. She's not just talking about menopause, she's changing the way that we view it in our lives, in our workplaces, and in our society. In today's chat, we're going to explore her own perimenopause journey, what surprised her most along the way, the early signs that every woman should look out for, and yes, even the one chapter of her book she believes that every partner, every boss, every colleague needs to read. This episode is about honesty, advocacy, and breaking down the stigma. So let's dive in straight away and talk on all things perimenopause. Hey, welcome to the show, Shelley.
Thank you so much for having me. It is so nice to connect with you.
Oh my goodness. We have been in each other's spaces or I've been hearing about you, but I was like, I've actually still never been able to meet you in the flesh. And then I saw your amazing new book come out and I said, what an epic topic to have you on the podcast to talk about. And so I was sitting here going, yay, I finally get to meet you today. So thank you so much for making the space and the time to come on the podcast today. I'm so thrilled to have you here.
I'm excited. I've had you in my ears because I listen to your podcast. So it's just like, I feel like I know you.
So yes, and Australia is really such a small space. Let's be honest. Yeah. Everyone kind of knows everyone and everyone's connected to someone in some way, shape or form. I'm absolutely pumped for you to share a little bit about what's been going on in your world. You've just launched your book, which we're going to get into. It's just hit the United States as of yesterday at time of recording. And the conversations that are happening is exactly what we need, not only in Australia, but global, specifically around that keyword perimenopause, right? So can you share a little bit about your own perimenopause journey and how it has shaped your new book, I'm Your Peri Godmother?
So the reason I wrote I'm Your Peri Godmother is I went into perimenopause in 2020, but I had never heard the word perimenopause before. Everyone's talking about it now, and I'm so grateful that they are. But back then, I had not heard the word. So when I started getting some of the symptoms, I didn't know what they were or what was going on with my body. Also, think about it, 2020, little thing going on at the time, pandemic. My first symptom was heart palpitations, which is very common in perimenopause, but I didn't know that. So I thought I might have heart problems. So I took myself off for a cardiac check. I was feeling like I didn't have traditional hot flushes straight away. I just felt a bit hotter. But I had also been eating a lot of carbs on the couch and binging Netflix. So I'd put on some COVID kilos. So I thought it could be that. But then the big thing for me was I started getting depression. Now, I am very fortunate in that I've never had mental health issues my entire life. I've been a health reporter. I have supported people with depression. I have written about it. I have campaigned. And yet when it happened to me, I didn't have the tools or know how to deal with it. But again, I kind of just thought it was because the whole world was changing. And so I just wasn't coping. So I didn't really take myself to a doctor. I just kind of thought, I think a lot of women do. You just say, I'm blaming myself. Like, I'm not cope, all of that sort of thing. And then it wasn't until about September 2020 that I had the symptom that took me off to the doctors. And that was, and I love that I can share this with women in business, because I had a Mirena, which is an IUD inserted. So I had not had a period for 12 years. I'd had it replaced a couple of times and I loved it. I was so happy not to have periods. And then in September 2020, I had what could only be described as an Armageddon period. I bled through my clothes. Like, it was shocking. So that, I'm like, I got to go see a GP. Something's not right. So I am a little bit of a tight ass. So I don't have a family doctor, and I went to just like a bulk billing medical place.
Yep.
This is when I lived in Sydney. And when I told the female doctor my symptoms, she went, oh, bleeding with a Mirena. Yeah, that could be cancer. Yeah, I was not expecting that. So she sent me off for an internal ultrasound. She also said, oh, we'll do your bloods. We now know that you cannot test your bloods for hormones.
No.
Change every day. But when I saw her, I went back a couple of days later for my results. She said, great news. You don't have cancer. Your bloods are all normal. You're obviously just not coping with your stress, and maybe you should take up a hobby.
Oh, okay. That sounds not really helpful.
I just drove home in tears.
I can imagine.
And then blamed myself about how I did this to myself and how I'm not coping. Because of that, I kind of did, I'm very Gen X in that I grew up with my parents telling me that what doctors are gods and what they say goes, you know?
Yes.
What I didn't know, and I certainly know now, is most doctors, Gen X and over, have had zero education about
and training.
Because, and that's not even their fault, but that sucks, because this will happen to 100% of women who live long enough. I can't believe that there's been such a gap in the medical field. So it was one of those things where I just kept putting up with it. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having a 60-day period. And my depression got worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And then for those who don't know, I have been on Channel 9 for the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. And before that, Channel 7. So I love my work in TV. I go in, I debate the news of the day. It's very high stress, high energy, mm-hmm. but it's what I love to do. But I got to the point where, because of my depression, I was second guessing everything that I was saying. I was criticizing myself. Like, mm-hmm. I know everyone has that inner critic, and I am now pretty good at turning the critic down when I need to. Mm-hmm. But when I wasn't aware that I was going through perimenopause, mm-hmm. that critic got so loud that I was driving home from Channel 9 and it was screaming in my ear, just going, you just embarrassed yourself on national TV. You're so stupid. Your parents would be ashamed of you. Mm. You should quit Channel 9, because it would be humiliating to get fired. Just quit.
Wow.
So I got home and I hadn't told my husband my negative thoughts, because I don't think you really tell anyone your negative thoughts, but I was very tearful. And I said to him, I think I want to quit my job. Like, I'm just not coping. And he sat me down and he said the most beautiful thing that's ever been said to me. He said, this has actually been going on for a year now. And you've been crying a lot and the bleeding's been really hard. I don't think there's anything wrong with you, but I think there might be something wrong with the chemicals in your brain. So why don't we go and see someone together?
Oh, bless.
Isn't that the best way to say it?
Yes, just so gentle and kind.
He took the blame off me. Like, I was being so mean to myself. So he actually made the appointment for me to go and see another GP, and he came with me.
Oh gosh, and love him.
Yeah, that was brilliant, because I walked into the GP and I just started crying and I couldn't stop crying. I could barely describe the symptoms. And so he was the one who went, here's what's been going on.
Yeah.
And so she was like, this is just perimenopause, and I can pop you on some HRT and an antidepressant and we will fix you. And we know now through research that antidepressants are not the way to deal with hormonal depression. But at the time, that was 5 years ago. Like, in only 5 years, so many things have changed. And I honestly believed that I did need it because my mental health was so low.
But you also have contributing factors too. It was like we were in the middle of a pandemic. You could also argue if you didn't have pandemic, those symptoms may not have been as worse. Because I'm an ex-mental health clinician of 15 years. So I used to diagnose people with schizophrenia, bipolar, and that. And it's so it's just like different contributing factors such as that could have made the difference of, say, like an adjustment disorder versus like a depressive disorder. And you know your body, and like you said, at that time for you, you're like, I probably needed that for me at that time.
I think
you
I
know?
Did. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so once I started on the HRT and the antidepressant, I started to feel better and better and better. And then I was, rather than feeling grateful that someone had finally worked out what was wrong with me, I got mad.
Okay.
And I was like, how did I slip through the cracks? My mother did not talk to me about it. She's of the generation of that stiff upper lip, you just soldier on. My friendship group, I grew up in country Queensland, so I moved away from my hometown for work. So I didn't really have friends around the same age group going through it. I was working in my own business at this time, so I didn't have colleagues to talk to about it. So I'm just like, if I'm slipping through the cracks, there must be so many other women out there going through exactly the same thing. And so that's when I decided to write the book. I also couldn't write the book until I was well. And I remember that in one of your podcasts you were talking about recently about you've got to get through your trauma before you can share it with people so you don't just trauma dump on other people. But me being me as a journalist, I didn't just decide to write a book. I also campaigned in Parliament.
Which is amazing.
I'm going to do it big. So in 2023, I was part of the first parliamentary roundtable on menopause.
Oh, Matt, amazing.
March 8th on International Women's Day. And we spoke in Parliament. And that was the first time menopause had ever been mentioned in Australian Parliament.
Wow.
2023.
That is crazy talk.
Isn't that crazy? And the thing is, if it's not in Parliament, then it's not in policies. It's not the health department's not looking after you. So that then led to the Senate inquiry, which led to some incredible recommendations. And then the government actually accepted them. Majority of them. There were 25 recommendations and they've accepted about 13.
It's a start, right? Yep.
And one of those things is education for GPs. So that was a big win for me. So anyone who's studying in the health field, it'll be compulsory for them to learn about perimenopause and menopause from now on. There'll be education for GPs who are existing that will be compulsory. Of course, though, that's still not happening. Like, it takes time and government wheels move very slowly. But then the other thing, two other things that I'm super proud of is that they acknowledge that we need to talk about menopause in the workplace. And
amen.
We got a really good HRT on the PBS so that it wasn't so expensive. So halve the price of it. So
those are huge wins, amazing wins. You know, so, and like, again, we need people being able to talk about these things. And that you said, conversations build connection and they build community for us. Now, one of the things though I want to go back is some of us out there might be going, you mentioned, I didn't even know that this is a symptom. The hot flashes weren't necessarily one of your predominant symptoms at the beginning. So for those women that don't realize they're in perimenopause until years in, what are some of the earliest signs women should be looking for?
Okay, you know what? There are now over 50 symptoms. So we now know we have estrogen receptors in every cell of our body. So of course it's going to affect us. What I want people to know is, what happened to me is I thought I knew about menopause, which was like, oh, you know, it's women in their 60s and they have hot flushes and their period stopped. The end. No. That's the easy bit. Average age in Australia is 51 for menopause, but perimenopause can be between 4 and 10 years leading up to it. So 41 is when you should start be, you know, around 40, you should be going, what's going on? Most important thing I would say is start tracking your periods, because that's one of the first signs is irregular periods. However, if you've had a hysterectomy or like me had a Mirena, I didn't have a period to track. But for most women, tracking your periods, because as the estrogen and progesterone are going up and down like an epileptic bumblebee, it really throws your cycle out. Be very aware of your mood. So it is a lot of unexpected crying, you know, there's no real reason for the crying, but you're very tearful, low moods, anxiety, brain fog, where you just, like before, where I couldn't remember a word, but it could be as simple as you pick up a mug and you go, oh, what is this called? This is something I drink coffee from. What? It's a receptacle. Like you can't think coffee mug. So think about that. And then to me, yeah, hot flushes affect a lot of women, but as far as I'm concerned, that is the least of your concerns. There are much bigger worries. So the heart palpitations, the cardiac issues, aches and pains, like your joints start to get really inflamed. So all of this is because our estrogen and progesterone are basically fighting. The brain is sending signals like, this is our last chance to get some eggs out. So it's like, it's spluttering like a backfiring car. And that has massive, massive effects on your body. So I would honestly be very comfortable with saying, you know what, just Google perimenopause symptoms because there are so many. What you need to do, and I think that Aussie women are getting better at it and GPs need to get better at it, but look at yourself as a whole person. Because the most common thing that women say is, I just don't feel like myself. Something doesn't feel right. I can't put my finger on it, but I just don't feel like myself. And that's a sign that you need to do a little bit more. Be curious and start looking into what it is, what are causing these feelings.
And I can relate. I had to do IVF with my daughter, Chloe. And so when they started the testing with that and they found that my egg reserve was pretty much almost at zero and that IVF was going to be the only way, they said, just as an FYI, you more than likely will also go into perimenopause much earlier than the average human. And so I started exhibiting symptoms like the brain fog, my knees and back, like places that I've never ached before. I walk, I eat healthy, all those things, like just cane. Like, I mean, it was like knives going through my knees and there's nothing that they could rule in or rule out. They're like, we did x-rays, we did ultrasounds, there was nothing. And then also I was so tired, like tired, like when you're pregnant tired, where you're like, just crawl up and eat it. And that's when they said, it's because again, just like when you're producing a baby and the hormones are going up, 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 yours are going down, down, down. So it's like this, like the pendulum swings. And I was like, what the hell? But like, again, that memory was my biggest worry. I was like, why can I not get words out? Why can I not remember? And I thought, oh my God, I've got early dementia. And then when I remembered the IVF people saying you're more than likely to go early. And I said, oh, this is what it is. And I can also, I'd say I'm a pretty enthusiastic person. I'm a very, pretty direct person, but I would just be like so snappy at everyone. Like my kids, like my fuse was so much shorter and they kept saying, Mom, what's up? Why are you in a bad mood all the time? And I was like, why am I? And then that's when I was like, dun, 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 it's here. And then that's when I also realized, like you said, there's perimenopause, menopause, but there's also postmenopause. And so this is like, what the hell?
Did you know that menopause gets the billing and I have no idea why? It is one day of your life. So menopause is 12, exactly 12 months since your last period. And then that's it. It lasts for 24 hours and you're postmenopausal for the rest of your life. Now, here's the thing. I can't wait to be postmenopausal. I think I'm nearly there, but that's when everything calms down because it's not this craziness of the estrogen and progesterone and testosterone all over the shop. It kind of just evens out and life gets much easier.
You also raise a really great point around the mental health side of things, depression, anxiety, et cetera. And I can't remember exactly the statistic, but I believe it was between the ages of 38 and 50, is they're starting to see a swing of suicide rates in women increase substantially. What are your thoughts about that? Quick question. Have you ever spoken at an event, felt amazing, got great feedback, and then absolutely nothing happened? No leads, no bookings, no new clients, just applause and then absolute crickets. I see it happen all the time. Not because your talk wasn't good, but because most talks aren't built to do anything. That's why I have to tell you about Booked in 20, a powerhouse workshop created by my friend Jacqueline Brooker, who is a certified speaking professional and founder of Any Given Tuesday. Jacqueline has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs turn 20-minute talks, such as panels, guest spots, networking events, into 4, 5, and 6 figures revenue. And this workshop unpacks her full framework. So whether you speak often or know you need to start speaking, this will help you turn your voice into a serious business tool. She normally charges $100 for this particular workshop, but she's joined up with me to give you the opportunity to access this completely free. Just head to the show notes at angelahenderson.com.au, click on podcast episode 443, and you'll be able to access this workshop absolutely free. And watch how your next talk changes everything.
The exact stat is between 45 and 54 is the highest suicide rate for women in their entire lifespan. Now that is peak perimenopause. That shows how hormonal it is. And I think that has been a bit of a shameful taboo that women, people aren't talking about women who are self-harming or killing themselves because it's like a family shame. We need to bring that out into the sunlight. So for me, I had never, ever that low before, but I still got that low while on an antidepressant and on the HRT. So I kind of want to, and I love that you've got the mental health professional background, because I think it's important not to think that you get a quick fix. You don't like slap on a bit of HRT and take an antidepressant and you're better. You have to do the work. For me, when I got to the point where I was considering self-harm, I realized that I had to commit to appointments with a psychiatrist. I had to make some massive lifestyle changes. I committed to walking every single day. Now, I don't love walking, but my brain loves it.
Yes.
My brain loves it. My brain also loves that I get up and I'm in the sunshine and getting some vitamin D. And my brain loves that I have a routine, because I know if I'm going to get up to go early for an early walk, then I need to go to bed early. So all of these things actually work together. And then what happened for me is my psychiatrist weaned me off the antidepressant and upped my HRT very, very slowly while I was making these lifestyle changes. And that's how I got well. And it's almost like I don't recognize the person who went through that. I'm like, oh my God, how did I put up with that for so long? And why didn't I ask for help? But when you're in it, it's so hard, because you just go in rather than out to ask help. You go in, and I'm hoping that with my book, I go in, it's pretty gnarly in places, I've got to warn people, but it's also funny in places, and it's all evidence-based. So you'll get great information, but it's warts and all, because I think you need to step into your truth and share the really messy, ugly bits so that other women don't feel so alone.
And the thing that, though, that I want to go back on is that you talked about, like, why did I put up with it for so long? Why didn't I go and get help? But the thing is, there are many women who are actually going to getting the help that they're wanting. You did too. You tried it and they said, you don't have cancer. You're all good. Go and get a hobby. And so again, that comes back to like you making those moves in Parliament, but now the GPs are going to be more educated around what to look for and how to provide some more holistic care and support. And I think more women, hopefully there'll be more positive stories coming out of friends. Oh, I went, they helped me, I'm feeling better. And that's where I hope the ripple effect will start to come. Now, there's still a lot of education, and as you said, there's a lot of stigma also in the workplaces. In particular, I laughed with someone recently from a place of like, ha ha, how are we even in this fucking place? Do you know what I mean? Place, not like laughing as in a good laugh, but I was like, we've barely just got maternity leave into place where women can actually freely and feel confident their jobs aren't going to be lost here in Australia, not even around the world. I'm only just speaking about Australia, but yet we still don't have things in the workplace for our aging population, which includes me and you, to be able to help support people in the workplace. And then people are quitting their jobs, they're financially broke, then it's leading to those more depressive thoughts coming in more and more, or suicide. So is there one page in your book, or even a chapter in your book inside of I'm Your Perry Godmother, that you would want a partner or a boss to read? And if so, which would that be?
Okay, so I am passionate about education about menopause in the workplace. And I go into workplaces, I do webinars, because to me, it's all about education and getting everyone on the same page. So the chapter in my book about menopause in the workplace is called Work It Baby, Why Perimenopause is a Workplace Issue. Mm. Now, the thing is, because we are so used to it being taboo, we don't have great studies in Australia, but I found some great studies in the UK, because you know what? They're about a decade ahead of us when it comes to menopause in the workplace. And one of their great studies showed that 1 in 10 women leave their jobs because of their perimenopausal symptoms. 14% asked to go part-time because they're just not coping with the workload. And 8% either say no to a promotion or actively ask for a demotion because they've lost their confidence.
Wow.
Now, isn't that mind-blowing? So for me, what we need to do is get workplaces to understand that they are losing money by losing smart women. They have spent time training these women, getting them into executive positions, because if you're in your 40s to 50s, you're at the peak of your career. Like, yes, this is where you should be shining. So for women to be falling off this confidence cliff is absolutely crazy. So the International Menopause Society says not only do women in workplaces have a glass ceiling, they have a hormonal ceiling as well. So what I do when I go into workplaces is explain what's going on, because I feel like there's such a lack of information that is consistent and evidence-based. Offer the treatments and then let women make their own choice. You know, like, I am not going to say, you know, every woman has to go into HRT. It is a matter of choice. Some women can't. I want to just offer all that's available. But by having men and women in these sessions is vital, because we can't just educate the women and expect the men to understand. I had an incredible experience. So I was doing some educational webinars for Westpac, and they've given me permission to talk about this. And they bought 3 webinars and menopause policy, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, 2 webinars in, I get a message from their people and culture saying, we've had some of the male leaders ask if they could have a men-only menopause session. And at first I was like, what the fuck? I mean, Jesus, can't we have one thing for ourselves? But then it actually was life-changing for me, because these men were so empathetic. And what they said was, we never want to take away time from women learning about this, but we also want to be in a space where we can go, we don't really understand how periods work. We don't really understand what perimenopause is. We don't want to use the wrong words and put our foot in it. And it ended up being such an incredible session that now I offer that as an extra service, because I couldn't believe how amazing it was. The thing I would say about, to wrap up workplaces, is remember 10 years ago when mental health was never discussed in the workplace and you would never say that you had depression or anxiety? Well, we're 10 years old when it comes to talking about perimenopause and menopause. So it is early days. And for me, the answer is not menopause leave of giving women an extra 6 days off a year. Perimenopause is 365 days a year. What we need to do is educate them on how to look after themselves, how to identify the symptoms, and how to make some educated choices. And then within the workplace, it's about supporting each other. And if you know that your colleague has terrible brain fog and they're in the middle of a presentation and they have forgotten the client's name, you just jump in and help them out. And that's what I actually love, that kind of teamwork and sisterhood. Where you're just like, I've got you.
This is going to be okay. We can get through this together. You know,
do you have maybe insomnia is a really bad symptom for you, and that causes brain fog in the afternoon. Have your important meetings in the morning. Like, don't have them at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Those sort of little changes don't sound like much, but they can be a game changer.
A huge difference, because especially if you have them in the morning and you do feel like shit and you've got to leave in the afternoon, you're like, okay, but all the major things were taken care of. And it just reduces, even though we shouldn't have pressure on us, the reality of it is we still carry that pressure, and it will just reduce it a little bit more. So I love that, those little subtle changes. No, brilliant.
And as someone like you who runs their own business, can I just say, you've got to rest.
I rest. I know almost every lunch. Almost every lunch I rest. Do you know what I mean? So
I know it's one of your pillars, but I've been in my business for 10 years and I don't think I rested for the first 5. And I think I wore busyness as a badge of honor. Like, it was look at how busy I am, where I'm now going, oh God, I'm coming up to a busy period. I need to have some downtime. And so I now call my rest days 0 days. And that means answering zero emails, answering zero texts, doing zero work, and just lying on the couch, cuddling the puppies and watching TV, going for a gentle walk, like things that just fill my cup up.
Yeah.
Because then the next day I'm looking forward to work.
Yeah, you're excited again.
Even if I did a couple of hours, you just don't feel recharged.
And that inner stuff that you were talking about and the ability to take time and have space is also something that's such a hard thing, because I think entrepreneurs can be slightly different to when I work with my 9-to-5ers who are transitioning from 9-to-5, do you know what I mean, into entrepreneurship. I think entrepreneurs can still get into busy and to still get in a hustle, but there's a little bit more flexibility. Whereas with my 9-to-5ers, I feel they're still quite conditioned with what society's norms are. And also just even when I nap almost every day, there's this, but do you have
you
depression?
Every day?
Almost every day from 12 to 1, I have it blocked out.
Really?
Almost, not every day, but almost. You will see me rest with the curtains closed for about at least 30 minutes because I'm also a projector in human design. So if I'm doing a lot, my energy gets depleted. And then you marry that up with the perimenopause and I need to be able to reboot. And a 30 to 45 minute nap every day can, like, it fills me. But I had to be okay with, because people say, are you depressed? What's wrong? And I'm like, I'm just resting. So I had, even my kids, I have to say, they're like, Mom, you're napping again. Why do you nap every day, Mom? I said, just because it's important to rest. It's okay. So I try to normalize it in a world where we're conditioned to not do that when it's hard. But again, I hope that even just these conversations, everyone will be like, oh, it's okay. It's okay to nap. Even my partner, he goes. And he'll be like, I'm just coming to nap with you. And I'm just coming to nap with you. And his mom or someone in his family is like, why are you guys just napping? And he's like, why shouldn't we be napping? You know, like, why can't we rest?
Why was I so shocked to hear that you do it every day? If that's what you need to do, do it. I might adopt this. I think we start the nap club. I love it.
Dude, I'm all about a good nap. Now, I know we're just about getting ready to wrap up, my friend, but because perimenopause can come with negative connotations, right? Mm-hmm. I've heard people say it's a death sentence. Why do we have to go through this? I remember when my son was doing sex education at school and they were talking about periods. And my son came home and he goes, Mom, I heard what happened. I can't believe it, Mom. And I said, what, Finny? And he said, Mom, every single month you bleed, like every month. And Chloe, she was super little, but she knew about periods, not to the extent, obviously. And she's like, what do you mean, Mom? Like, I know we get our period, but she's like, you get it once and we're done. And I was like, oh gosh. And then Finley's like, no, Chloe, you get it forever. And I said, well, not forever. Then we go through a thing called perimenopause and Finley and Chloe were like, well, what's that? And then Chloe's like, why, Mom? Why? And so, you know, there is this negative connotation at a young age. Like Chloe's like, this sucks, Mom, right? So I'd love to know is if you could sum up perimenopause in three words that feel empowering rather than scary, what would they be?
Okay. So I would say a reboot, a level up. They're all hyphenated for some reason. Uh-huh. And removing of filters.
Love it.
So for me, I don't want to be doom and gloom about peri. Like, yes, it's hard. Mine was particularly hard, but for some women it's not. So every single woman's experience is different. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that is consistent is once you get through it and you get into menopause, there's a great term called menopausal zest. Mm-hmm. And they've studied it in America. And they say, it's the last chapter in my book. It's called Giving Zero Fucks.
Yes, I've heard this. It's a brilliant.
I love it so much because this is where women finally, once their hormones calm down, go, hang on a minute. I've been putting everyone before my needs most of my life. I also don't have to worry about getting pregnant anymore. I don't have to worry about painful periods. I don't have to buy sanitary items. And they also, and these studies show, it showed that more women like age 55 and over started going, I don't want to go on a family holiday. I want to go on a girls' trip.
Yes.
And you get them booking the cruise together and having, and I love that. It's also a huge time that women start their own business because it's like, I have always wanted to do this, but I've never given myself permission. And now I know who I am. I value myself and I'm going to be really good at this. And they just take off and fly. So we've got to just know that the menopausal zest is coming.
It's the menopausal like zest is coming.
End of the tunnel. And I am all for it. I think I just wish we could give ourselves menopausal zest without having to go through the trauma of the perimenopause.
I remember it was a funny code. It was a reel somewhere I saw, and it was like estrogen's levels go down, giving less fucks, increase substantially. And this lady's like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And I was like, actually, yeah, I can. And it was like, you're entering your give a less fuck era. And I was like, I relate. I totally relate. You just don't care anymore. So it's an interesting concept.
And you back yourself and you're like, I have been through it. I'm not interested in the gossip. I'm not interested in the power plays. I'm interested in what makes me happy, and I'm going to look after myself and be the best version of myself. So yeah, it's a level up.
Now, for those listeners wanting to connect with you, my friend, where can they connect with you? Where can they buy your amazing book, I'm Your Peri Godmother? Tell us a little bit more.
Okay, so if you want to buy the book, it's available everywhere. So it's in bookstores. You can also get it on Amazon and Booktopia. But if you want me in your ear holes, it's also on Audible. I've had a lot of people say that they like it because it's kind of like my book you'll love because it's like you, very sweary. There's quite a bit of swearing. There's lots of laughter and jokes. And then there's also tears. But Audible's a great way to get onto it. And then if you want to do any work with me for perimenopause in the workplace, then you can just contact me on LinkedIn under Shelley Horton or just on my Instagram social media. It's Shelley Horton One. So please get in touch.
I love it. And we've got one final question. Looking back specifically on your business journey, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
I know you always ask this question and I was trying to think about it on my list this morning. I think I would definitely say you don't have to say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. Don't say yes in panic. Choose what you want to pour your energy into. I love the Taylor Swift, like your energy is a luxury. Not everyone can afford it. And I think that is also in the business realm. And then on top of that, it would be rest whenever you can.
Dude,
don't think when you're resting that you're not working. You're looking after the number one commodity that makes you money, and that's you.
And without that, you're 6 feet under. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely. And the business and family doesn't matter. So, well, thank you so much. I know you're a busy woman doing amazing things all over the world. So thank you so much for your time today. I hope you have an amazing day, a beautiful weekend. And for you, the listener out there, make sure that you go connect with the amazing Shelley. She's just an absolute gem. And if you just need good vibes, make sure you follow her because she's just a good human doing good things. But for now, have an amazing day. And I look forward to joining me again for another episode of the Angela Henderson Online Business Show. Thanks again, Shel.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.